I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Amit Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. We continue our quest to find out more information about all the candidates that the Raptors are considering for the head coaching vacancy currently. And we go to the Memphis Grizzlies. And to talk to me about that, DeMichael Cole of Commercial Appeal covering the Grizzlies there. And also you can find them Locked on Grizzlies, the podcast. Great stuff all around. How are you, man? How are you? I know that there's some news has happened that's been keeping you busy.
I was just about to kick my feet up, man, and get in off season mode, and then boom, you know, more news. The news cycle never stops around here, so all good.
No. Just so everyone's clear, the news is that DeLon Brooks, under no circumstances, that's a quote, will be back with the Memphis Grizzlies. So I guess there's going to be a parting of ways. Why that's happening? What side? Who knows? But all we know is that DeLon Brooks will not be back. Damn. Tough season for you guys.
And he's also one of the teams on Bovada right now. Matter of fact, the favorite on Bovada right now is Toronto Raptors.
I don't know. They could definitely use some more perimeter defense. That's no question. Yep. You know, they have plenty of wings, but, you know, guarding the perimeter, point of attack defense has been a problem for them. It was a huge problem last season. A couple of guys took a little step back in that category. But is it DeLon Brooks? I don't know. A Canadian kid coming back home? That sounds kind of cool. Do you think the Grizzlies regret not pursuing OG Anunoby just a little bit more at the deadline?
I mean, they tried.
Three picks is a lot.
Yeah, so I think they can live with that, because the theme in Memphis, they will always say this, is from the front office general manager, Zach Kleiman. He says, hey, we're aggressive in terms of seeking deals, but we're only going to do things that make sense to us. So once the deal starts not to make sense, then they do not operate in any way, shape, or form out of desperation. So I feel like they're comfortable with leaving a deal on the table if they feel like it's too much going out than coming in.
You know, the Raptors are similar in a way too, that they have a lot of homegrown players that they like a lot and they believe in them. Yeah. And, you know, it would take a lot for them to be traded. As we saw, the asking price for OG Anunoby was substantial. And I'm sure it's been the same with other players as well in the past. And even Masai after the deadline, and everyone's kind of asking like, why didn't you do anything? He's like, you know, I'm getting all these calls about these players on my team. I'm starting to think, you know, maybe they're not that bad. And so we decided to keep them all. But anyways, Nick Nurse gets fired. Here we are. And one of the candidates that's been rumored for the Toronto Raptors head coaching vacancy, as I mentioned, Darko Rajkovic, who is kind of like a basketball whisperer from my mild research on him. But, I mean, you wrote some stuff on him, and you obviously have a lot of information that the people would love to hear. So please, just off the bat, why do you think the Raptors are interested in him possibly being their next head coach?
I mean, I knew this day would come sooner or later for him, because he has the intangible part of it. You know, he's a basketball guy through and through. He's one of those coaches, you know, Nick Nurse in a way, Taylor Jenkins, a lot of these coaches now where they just make their way through like coaching school as he was. You know, he just basically said, hey, I'm going to be a coach. And he just learned through the system of how to become a coach, got a couple opportunities, worked his way up through the D League, G League developmental system. And now he's the lead assistant for the Grizzlies. So he's kind of worked his way up just coaching all the way through. A very charismatic guy. And every time I see him, he stops, shakes my hand. Hey, how you doing? Just the little things like that. You know, every assistant coach isn't that way. But Darko goes out of his way to create those relationships with people. It's very genuine with him. We got him actually as the lead coach for I don't remember how many games it was. I want to say maybe three or four games last season. You remember when the COVID protocols and everything was going on? There, Taylor Jenkins also had a family situation. So there was a period where Taylor was out and Darko kind of stepped in. And he's a good guy. One word that and we'll talk about this more as the episode goes on here, but the word that he loves to use is swag. And the players laugh
I
so
saw
much.
that.
When he, yeah, they, oh, and
Love
they're,
it.
they laugh. All they like, if you say something, you say the word swag, they'll say, oh, Darko must told you that, or because it's kind
Yeah.
of his, it's his buzzword, with the
Yeah.
team.
The Grizzlies do play with a lot of swag. So, I mean, clearly there's been an influence there on the team. And just going off some of the articles that I read that you wrote about him, like it seems like he has his footprint on a few of the players. Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Zaire Williams, all these guys, have to give, some credit to Darko on their development and where they are. And he wrote an academic journal on the evolution of the pick and roll. That's pretty impressive.
He comes from that school. Like, you when you think international basketball, and the things that are kind of prioritized, where you're talking about passing, in America, it's the 0.5 system, right? With Mike Budenholzer, Monty Williams runs it now. Taylor Jenkins emphasizes 0.5 basketball. But you look at Darko, it's very, you talk about the pick and roll. He's very fond of the pick and roll, but it's not a dry pick and roll, so to speak. It's not, hey, pound the ball in Luka's hands for 15 seconds, and then you try to manipulate a switch, and then you just attack that. It's pick and roll, create mismatch, find that mismatch, and go. He's very quick into getting into situations. A very smart guy. I thoroughly enjoyed for the small period of time where he was the acting head coach last season, and we got to talk to him for that time period. Thoroughly enjoyed talking to him.
It's revealing how different the Grizzlies play when Ja Morant is on the court versus
Yeah,
off. It's like two different teams almost.
it is. It is. Because with Ja, the pick and roll is more heavy, whereas without Ja,
Naturally,
you're
too. It makes sense. Like you have a downhill threat
yeah.
like him. He is the play. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. So you're getting to the strength of your guys, at the end of the day, in that situation. So with Tyus, why would you do more pick and roll when he, it's not his game. Getting downhill, getting into the teeth of the defense. He's not this super athlete like Ja, where he's going to do reverse layups over 7 footers and things like that. That's Ja Morant. Tyus Jones is more, hey, let's move the ball around. Let's attack, dribble, drive, get guys open, run our sets. And things like that. And Darko is a big part of why those things work. I'm sure you probably read, but Taylor Jenkins leans on him so much. There are so many times just throughout a game, my seat is right there, courtside, right, pretty much right to the right of the Grizzlies bench. And there's so many
Damn.
times,
Okay, that's not
yeah,
bad.
it's pretty good, right? But you get a lot of things in that seat. And one of those things is Taylor Jenkins sometimes. When he's standing up, Darko will come right over there, in the coaching box, right where he is, and he'll whisper in his ear, bark something out. Sometimes he'll do it directly to the players, but it's him more than any other coach. Darko is very active. At the end of the day, you look at the Grizzlies, he's very active in what this team is doing and what they have done.
Man, our media seats are in the 600 level, and also there's a
Oh.
section on the 100 level at Scotiabank Arena. So courtside seats, okay, that's
Yeah.
impressive. That's pretty
Yeah.
good.
As some of the best in the business, as people told me, yeah, some of the best seats in the NBA for the media.
100%, 100%. So you mentioned Taylor Jenkins already. That little nugget you just mentioned about, him always being in the ear of Taylor. But outside of that, when it comes to just what Taylor has communicated with you guys, with the media about Darko, what is he saying and how has he leveraged him, I guess?
Great, the great friends for one. And when I say the great friends, it's on the court, it's off the court. He's the direct right hand to Taylor. When Taylor's trying to figure something out, Darko's the right guy. He's the first guy that's going to come up there on the bench. They talk through things. Darko is very big in the game planning, in the film room. He's a very big part of that as well. And then his hands, and I think you wanted to get to this too. His hands are directly tied to the development of some of the biggest key players on the Grizzlies.
Yeah, let's get there right now. So the names I mentioned, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane, of course, and Ziaire Williams. There's some quotes here I got from, I think it was your story, where there's one from Ziaire: his basketball knowledge is very good, especially on the offensive end. His schemes and the way he reads the game is pretty different. I haven't seen it before, honestly. Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, and that's what you get, right? So let's focus on those two guys before we get to Jaren, because it's a little different. And with Jaren, there are some things he can really, if we're talking Toronto, there are some things he can unlock with Siakam that he's really done with Jaren, kind of in a similar sort of role there.
But you're speaking my language now. Keep going.
We can start there. We'll start with Jaren and we'll get to the guard. So with Jaren, it's kind of unlocking more of that guard in his game. You know, Jaren has the skill set, like Pascal Siakam does. He as a guy who had, in Jaren's case, he's 6'10", 240-plus pounds. Jaren has always been very fluid, but the words you hear when you think of Jaren, all the way since he was back in college, are raw in potential. I remember once upon a time, those words were, you know, used pretty much with Siakam when he was a little bit younger, too. I guess you could say he's more seasoned now. And that's kind of where Jaren has gone in the last two seasons. So you talk about Jaren. There's a part of his game now where he can be the ball handler in a pick and roll. They don't do it a lot, but there's certain things that he's working on there. This year, especially towards the latter part of the season, he got a lot better in reading double teams and reads, because that's kind of been a weakness in his game. Just the playmaking standpoint of it, that's where Darko, his toolage has really helped Jaren. And you look at these last couple years, but this season in particular, Jaren's two-point percentage, two-point field goals was at a career high, and then just how he's playmaking off of those opportunities improved.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And when I say improved, it's still not a strength of his, but there are noticeable changes where you can say, hey, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, when you get to Dez and Ziaire, that's where the biggest example of Darko's influence is. So the Grizzlies do this thing. A couple years ago, they did it with Dez. Dez came into the draft. I'm sure you remember he was basically known as shooter, one of the top shooters in the draft. It's why he fell to the 30th pick in the draft, because no one knew this rebounding guard who's going to push the tempo, who could play make. None of that was, I guess, strengths in his draft profile.
Sure.
Well, he gets to Memphis rookie year. He's doing exactly pretty much what you think. A lot of spot up 3-point shooting and things like that. In the summer, he came to summer league. Darko took him under his wing, and it was tough. Dez had what he called a lot of uncomfortable moments. And Darko just challenged him. It was a lot of times it was just those two. And the emphasis was the playmaking. The emphasis was reading. And the emphasis was, hey, you need to become a better secondary playmaker alongside of Ja Morant. So look at his numbers over the last two seasons, how he's grown. Last season, Desmond Bane really took that jump where it's like, okay, this is a really good starting two guard in the league.
Yeah.
This past season, when he averaged over 21 points, basically on a bad foot for most of the season, over 4.5 assists, almost doubled his assists from the previous year. Now there's real playmaking there. I think he had a stretch maybe in March when Ja was out, but Ja was there for some of that stretch. He had a stretch, I think it was like 5-6 games consecutive, where he had 20 points, 5 assists. as a secondary playmaker. So this isn't, you know, primary guy. But there are situations now, especially this season, where the Grizzlies, sometimes games, you mentioned it, when Tyus Jones starts, Desmond Bane becomes the backup point guard. They staggered him. So he starts the game at two guard, and then when Tyus goes out, he moves over to the point guard position. And all of that is Darko. Same thing is what they've kind of tried to do with Zaire, and it's still kind of unfolding there because Zaire, again, different prospect than Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane played 4 years in college, came in a little bit more seasoned. Zaire was a 19-year-old kid. I think Zaire's 20, just turned 21 not too long ago. So it's a little bit different of the progression. But last summer league, the Grizzlies just threw the ball in his hands, said, here. They made Zaire – clearly he's not going to play point guard for the Grizzlies. But, again, it's the Darko influence. It's how, you know, he wants – you talk about the pick and roll.
Yeah, just know how to read, right? Know how to read defenses.
Exactly. Sure. He doesn't want one or two guys on the floor. Say, hey, these are our two guys that can play pick and roll. Everyone else step out, space the floor. He says, no, I want Ja Morant to be able to do it. I want Dez to be able to do it. I want Zaire Williams to be able to do it. I want Jaren Jackson Jr. to be able to do it. And Steven Adams is setting those screens. But you want the other four guys in that lineup to be able to have the ball in their hands and be able to play on and off the ball. That's kind of one of those traits that he'll give you.
That's beautiful. I should have given a warning to Raptor fans before the Desmond Bane stuff, because that's a sour spot for fans around here, knowing that they could have had him, and that was the year that they took Malachi Flynn instead.
That's where they took Malachi Flynn. Oh, yeah.
Buddy, it comes up every couple months, I swear. It comes up every few months that this they could have had Desmond Bane. But to your point, I mean, the Raptors, like, you know, Pascal Siakam is one point, but players like Scottie Barnes, OG Anunoby, them understanding how to be secondary playmakers, because they're not always going to be on ball. Or even, like, I was looking at the Clippers, and unfortunately, you know, they lost to the Suns, but had they been healthy, had Kawhi been healthy, I think they probably would have beat them. And there was a moment where I'm looking at the court, I'm like, they got five guys that can run pick and roll right now on the court. That's crazy to me, man. That's crazy. Yeah. And that's the future, kind of, right?
That's where we are. I mean, you want the bigs to become, you know, more versatile within today's games, because that's what we're seeing. You're seeing a lot of big men who are ball handling and things like that. But we're also seeing a lot of, you know, dribble handoffs and things where the big men are pretty much at the top of the key, dribbling around. They're making these passes where our guards are cutting back door and things like that. And Darko, again, with the Grizzlies, with you know, guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. and with Dez from the cutting perspective. Desmond Bane and Steven Adams had a very good rapport as a cutter. So, I mean, he's a very big part of what this team has done. Darko, that is.
Yeah, and cutting has been a big part of what the Raptors are trying to do within their current offensive philosophy. However, I mean, I've said it a few times on these podcasts, you know, we're talking about the future coaches or who could be future coaches on the Raptors. The cutting was good, but it could have been a lot better. And their half-court offense had some legs to it, but there could definitely could have been more movement, more off-ball movement, and also understanding how to cut. You know, it's a valuable skill, knowing how to cut, knowing how to be that second side action and understanding how to manipulate defenses when you don't have the ball. It's really, really important. And for the Raptors, when they have so many like-sized players, and some of them, you know, aren't the best shooters right now, being able to cut and read like a little bit faster means everything. So that's very exciting. If he were to become the coach of the Raptors, I think he'd be able to really have a lot of fun with, you know, an OG, a Scottie Barnes, especially a Scottie Barnes. He's an open book right now. So much potential. Yeah. The kind of the world is his oyster. He's going to be, you know, during the offseason, he's going to be working on, you know, several different parts of his game. But someone like him, I think could really help Scottie.
Perfect example.
Know? Yeah.
Perfect example right there. Scottie is the perfect example. From afar, I remember when he came in the league, you knew he had the potential to do, you know, the points, the rebounds, assists, and kind of be an all-around guy. And that's kind of what, in Darko's mind, you know, that's kind of where his toolage shows, again, with Desmond Bane. It's what he's working on the most with Zaire Williams. And that, you know, a guy like Scottie Barnes, I could see him, you know, relishing in that role.
How is he with players, player coach relationships? How does that go? I could see, you know, just going off what you're saying, that there could be some tough conversations, but, you know, if in the end you are helping this person reach their full potential, most players are okay with that.
And that's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Zaire had fun playing that point guard position in summer league when he's coming past half court, dribbling the ball, you know, and like looking down at the ball and sometimes having turnovers and things like that. But they weren't going to stop. Same thing with Desmond Bane. He's turning the ball over. And he's like, man, just let me go back to shoot guard. No.
Yeah.
No. It's uncomfortable from that perspective. But when the results start to show, that's when, you know, you get real excited. But the players love him. Again, his buzzword is swag. So
I
like
love that so
when,
much.
When you hear the Grizzlies, we talk about the confidence of the Grizzlies. I'm sure, you know, you guys have heard about the trash talking and everyone hears it, right? In the locker room, the coaches, Taylor Jenkins is, you know, the speaker for the Grizzlies. So he says, oh, it's our swag, it's our confidence. But it's Darko who's kind of using that word in the practices a little bit more. So it's kind of Taylor is kind of the speaker for Darko from that perspective as well. Because, again, the players, when they talk about – the players don't say swag as much. They kind of like use it as like Darko's a little outdated. You know, because
yeah, it's like when if a dad says swag, right? Yep, it's kind of like that.
That's exactly how it's exactly how they view it. Yeah, so, but it's a fun thing to them.
That's cool, man. Anything else you want to mention about him? This has been terrific.
Yeah, he's a basketball through and through type of guy. Think of those, you know, those Taylor Jenkins who started off as an intern with the Spurs, or Eric Spoelstra who was a video guy with the Heat who worked his way up. And I can't tell you how successful he would be because, again, this is his first time as a lead guy in this role, and he's doing it with Taylor Jenkins, who's also a first-time head coach. Yeah. So there's kind of a nice learning curve with both of these guys here. But I tell you what, I said it last year when we saw Dez take that next leap. I thought immediately the jump that Desmond Bane took and the fact that Darko's hands are immediately tied to that. That's how assistant coaches kind of take those leaps and get those opportunities. And the guard play in Memphis overall, there are other assistant coaches as well. You know, Scoonie Penn is one who works closely with Ja and Tyus, but it's the secondary guards. You know, it's the Desmond Baines and it's the Zaire Williams. Those type of guys, their development is kind of tied to Darko. And that's going to be, you know, his calling card to an NBA head coaching job.
For others who have been following this, this is one episode I've done, but I've done a few others on other coaches who are candidates for the Raptors job. But Kevin Young of the Phoenix Suns, I cited an article from Kevin Arnovitz on, you know, in 2022, he did this article on future NBA coaches, the up and coming coaches. And Kevin Young was on there and so was Darko. He was on there as well. He's an up and comer and probably more than anything, he's probably arrived in some capacity. Has he had interviews yet with anyone?
Not to my knowledge. I just know that up to this point, Darko has been pretty much loved in Memphis. I know last year, Taylor said that he's a future head coach. Sure. You know, they're very excited about his potential. I know Taylor is the guy who is probably the happiest that he's getting interviewed for jobs now. But yeah.
This was great, man. Thanks so much. Once again, DeMichael Cole, Commercial Appeal, covering the Grizzlies there, beat writer, and also Locked On Grizzlies. You can get all your information from there. Hopefully, DeLon Brooks lands somewhere and he's happy. I'll put it that way. Hopefully, things work out for him. And I'm excited for your team. I mean, again, if you had Steven Adams in that Lakers series, it's probably a different outcome, I think. He was sorely missed.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you know more about this team than I do. You seem a little bit unsure.
I say it's fair because I only said that because when I've said exactly what you said, people from the Lakers side say, oh, it's excuses and oh, injuries happen. But you're right. Steven Adams, the rebounding perspective is clearly Anthony Davis was the most dominant player in the series. And that shifts a little bit. Think Kevon Looney, Domantas Sabonis there. That's kind of the Steven Adams impact. He's not the flashy guy, but he can kind of make things murky for a lot of these talented big men.
100%, man. You talk pick and roll, Ja Morant, Steve Adams. That pick and roll is a problem. But again, thanks, man. This was awesome. So much knowledge. I learned a lot about the fellow. I'm excited about him.
Appreciate you. Yeah, thanks, appreciate you. Yep, no problem.